Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Harley Wheeler with the Broadway Global Methodist Church. This is our fifth podcast in the 7 Days of Christmas podcast for 2022 coming from our church. We're looking at the named characters in the Bible stories of Jesus' birth. And so we've looked at Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary and Joseph. And now we're looking at, well, the villain of the piece, and his name is Herod the King. Indeed, you could say that when people said, "Oh yeah, King Herod," they would say, "Wow, that guy was a bad piece of work." Also, they would say, "King Herod, he really had a lot going on. He built fortresses and cities and palaces and theaters and built up the temple of God. There are monumental works being discovered that Herod did, and many set down to his credit. A mighty king, but again, under a king, under Caesar himself. Herod had made sure to be friends with Caesar, be a supporter of Caesar, and Caesar made sure that Mr. Herod was the person who sat upon the throne of Judea. Now let us take his story in Scripture. Beginning in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw a star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Wow, okay. "Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they'd seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was." And of course, you know that they entered in and they uncovered their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We don't have a reflection of the wise men because they're not given names in Scripture. This is about the named characters in the story. And then in verse 12 it says, "And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Rise, take the child from his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him.' And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.' Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious and sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all the region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more." So we do understand Herod is the villain of the piece. He is first off, you can easily say that the wise men, almost as comic characters, come into Jerusalem and saying, "Well, where is the one who's been born king of the Jews?" And Herod might very well say, "Where are his sons who would be born king of the Jews? He had killed a son or two, as far as my recollection of the history of the times goes. And though he had made a show of being a Jewish king and honoring Jewish things and building up the Jewish temple, it was also said that the Caesar made a joke that it was safer to be Herod's pig than Herod's son, since the pig wasn't going to be killed and eaten. But Herod certainly had no son to show. And Herod also would have been saying, "Well, if you're looking for the king of the Jews," he'd be thumping himself on his very decorated chest and saying, "I'm right here." But the wise men just go around saying, "Well, haven't you heard? The king of the Jews has been born." And Herod is concerned. He is very concerned. And notice he has The religious authorities at his beck and call to say, I want to hear where the child is. I've heard about the prophecies, and people have been going on and on about the prophecies, and we want to know about this. Anybody who's going to be noised about as the chosen one, the Messiah, the big answer, the heir of David and all that. By the way, Herod was not an heir to King David. And so he hears that the prophet Micah had pointed out that it was Nazareth where the birth of the great heir of David was to be. Not Nazareth, I'm sorry, Bethlehem. So the wise men go to Bethlehem, and they're sent by Herod, and Herod is duplicitous. He says, let me tell you something. First off, we're going to do a secret, as much as he could. He has a secret consultation with them, which was very hard for anything to be very secret in a king's life. And so word gets out, for Matthew's record later on, what Herod said secretly to the wise man is no great surprise. But he says, I want to hear about how old should this child be? When did you see the star that arose in the east? And go and look for the child. Be very careful and come back and tell me. I, too, want to worship him. So, it is not nice to tell lies, but it's especially not nice to breathe threats and murder. And in fact, it is important to note, as G.K. Chesterton said, that there are two immediate commentaries in the book of Matthew about the birth of Christ. The wise men see the star, and they say, we must worship him. And that's a wonderful commentary to say, this is the thing that God is doing. I don't understand it all yet. I just have the beginning pieces, but it is so wonderful. And God can be trusted to fulfill his promises. And these are promises for the whole world. They mean they're promises for me. Anyway, the commentary of the wise men is that if this child is to be born, I must go and worship him and bring my best gifts. Herod is the other commentary on the birth of the Messiah. He looks at this whole piece of news and says, there's somebody we need to kill. Well, you have the reaction to the gospel in the world in a nutshell right there. There will be hearts that are warmed by the Holy Spirit. There will be people who are touched by the good news of God. There will be people whose ears are open, who understand our desperate state of sin and need and say, this is God's rescue operation. Hallelujah. Sign me up. Put me alongside. I will respond in the best way the Holy Spirit gives me power to respond. Let me worship him. And the rest of the world, the other part of the world, will look at this and say, this interferes with my prospects, my power, my position, my sense of security, my peace and comfort, my being happy and cozy upon my chair, and this upsets all my plans and certainly raises a lot of issues of, shall we tolerate this kind of interference from God when I'm perfectly doing well ruling my kingdom, whether it be large or small, and we need to put him to death. Herod does indeed send soldiers, and I like how the one play from Bernard Shaw says, I believe it was him, said, has Herod saying, oh, now I have to call in the professionals. People had to bring up this religious stuff. People had to bring in this impractical thing that humanity can be saved. And just to keep things on the even keel, I have to call in the professionals to clean this up and to shed some blood. He sends his soldiers. It is, in terms of understanding the biblical record, this is quite in character with Herod. Also, that it doesn't appear as, or not provably so in other Roman records of the time, is, Herod did a lot of bad stuff. People couldn't get done saying about his cruelties and things, or other people who were on his side about his greatness. And so it's not surprising that a brief time of killing people in Bethlehem would be hushed up, overlooked, or whatever in the very scanty and fractured historical record that we have outside of the Bible. But Herod only ends up with all his opposition, with his gut reaction that there's not going to be any king of the Jews at this time of day but him. He only ends up adding to the truth of prophecy that there will be a day when people say, out of Egypt I have called my son. that indeed there's the life of a refugee that Mary, Joseph, the Holy Family, Jesus, all experience that is in a solid way, standing with those who political oppression and violence have driven from their homes. And also, even that he causes great grief in Bethlehem, it just brings to mind the words of the prophet Jeremiah, who, in a very, very chilling moment, imagined the ghost of Rachel watching the people leaving in exile in Jeremiah's day and weeping for her children. But it acts as a bookmark for us to look in Jeremiah, where the next thing it says, "Cease your weeping, your children will return. The work of God will be supreme." Herod stands as the villain of the piece. You can just say to yourself, well, don't be like Herod. But also understand that those who oppose the things of God will only end up adding to his glory. And so Herod, we wash our hands of him. There are no statues to him today, no glorification of how he was, even though he thought he was great. But we stand in awe that God set aside the powers of this world and exalted the lowly and brought down the high. And so I'm thanking you for being part of this fifth podcast of the 7 days of Christmas for 2022. This has been Pastor Harley Wheeler with the Broadway Global Methodist Church. And Merry Christmas a few days ahead. God bless.